This is the reading of God's Word. We have not ceased to pray for you, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for this wonderful time of hearing your word. We ask that you would receive all the glory. And through your word, let us have sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has done and what he has accomplished for us. And let us rejoice to see our heavenly realities that our Lord has already accomplished for us. Bless your people and receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, in this early part of Colossians, what we're reading is Apostle Paul's prayer for the Colossian congregation. But we also have to remember that it is God's word. It is the word of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it is also our Lord's prayer for us. And the next thing you must remember is that if the Lord is praying these things for us, will they come true? Of course. It's already come true spiritually. So this is how you read the Bible, especially this kind of the prayers. But you could look at it the same way, the whole Bible. It is telling us what Christ has already have accomplished for us. Because if it is Jesus' prayer for us, you know, it will come true, and it has already come true. So these prayers are our present spiritual heavenly realities. And you need to believe it. See, when you read these kind of verses, don't say to yourself, okay, I'll do my best to accomplish it. Because you just can't. You have no ability to accomplish this. Except when God gives you grace and He's working in you. So rather than thinking to yourself, okay, this is what I have to do. I go out and put my best effort to accomplish this. No, you understand that Jesus Christ has already accomplished it for you. And you must believe. Now, this is what we do. Even in the world, they do things by their faith. But it's not biblical faith, but they will do things according to what they believe. I mean, when you're coming up the stairs to come up to the second floor, if you knew that the stairs will break down, you would not have come up. But you believe that it will withstand your weight, and you came up. It's like that. I mean, if you believe that you're going to crash somewhere, you're not going to drive. Even you're sitting on your chair, you believe that that chair will withstand your weight. If you knew it was going to break, you're not going to sit there. So it's all about what you believe. But we're not talking about those examples are not Christian faith, but that's just what the world does. Even they do things according to what they believe. I mean, if you believe that by investing your money, the company will go bankrupt, you would not do it. But even non-Christians do it like that. So first thing you must do when you read these verses, you have to believe. That's the problem. You don't believe it. You don't believe that these are already accomplished your spiritual realities. And without that believing, it really doesn't matter what you do. God is not pleased with it. See, Paul says in verse 9b, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects. Two things. Living a life that is worthy of the Lord and to please Him in everything that you do. Then Paul tells us, the life that is worthy of the Lord and the life that pleases our Lord as four things in verses 10 through 12. So first two things are in verse 10. Third thing is in verse 11. And the fourth thing is in verse 12. And these are the four things. Bearing fruit in every good works. That's the first thing, that's which we're going to look at today. Second, increasing in the knowledge of God. Third, strengthened to attain steadfastness and patience. Fourth, joyously giving thanks to our God. And obviously, a life that is worthy of the Lord and to pleasing Him in everything that we do, you know, these four things do not exhaust it. Of course, there are many, if you read the other parts of the Bible, it will tell you many other things. But in Colossians chapter 1, these are the four things that we should focus. And when you do these four things, then you are living a life that is worthy of God. And also, you are pleasing Him in all things. So, today, first thing, the bearing fruit in every good work. This is worthy of the Lord and it pleases our God. We bear fruit in every good works. Here, fruit refers to our works, our good works. The works that are worthy of the Lord and works that please our God. Bearing that fruit means doing these good works. Paul prays for God's people that they will do every good work. Paul prays for God's people for every good works. The first thing we need to ask them, what are these good works? The good works of the Bible is not the same as what this sinful world might think of good work is. Of course, non-Christian will talk about good works too. But are they good works that God is pleased with? Romans chapter 14, verse 23b, whatever is not from faith is sin. The true good works, then, are the good works that pleases Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, and without faith it is impossible to please Him. So whatever that non-Christian does, the world will praise them for doing good. But one thing that we know is that they are not doing that by faith. And Bible is very clear, without faith, all is sin, and without faith, you cannot please God. So I don't really care what world says about what they're doing and how much they praise them. It's not good works, because it's not coming from faith. And this is a really important concept for you to truly understand, because if whatever good work you are doing is not from faith, then it's sin. And don't you think that's so important? And that's the thing. Even Christians, when they do good works, they just do it because it's good works, they think. And many times it's not about your faith. It's not about what God has done or what He has accomplished. You just do it because you think it's good to do good works. But that's exactly non-Christians. That's how they do it. And you're just living like a non-Christian then. Nothing to do with your faith. That way, if you do it like the world, you will never able to please God. And you're not really doing good works anyway. Because it's not from faith. Galatians 5:6 says this of that faith. Faith working through love. So love for God and love for one another. The good works must flow out of faith. And the world has its own good works that it recognizes, but they are never from faith. Thus, they do not please God. And biblical good works always please God. Now, this is where we're going to begin. The Bible says that faith without works is dead. In other words, the one who possesses the true faith will ultimately do good works. And good works there, we're talking about good works according to God. He or she will do things that please God. Of course, we'll never be perfect until we die and go to heaven. But true Christians will live by faith. By faith. Thus, the good works are by God's grace. They are not something that we could do on our own strength or ability. We are not saved by good works, but all who are truly saved will bear good fruits, will bear fruit in every good work. And you need to understand that the salvation that Jesus Christ accomplishes is an effective salvation. People who possess it will bear good fruits. And this you and I must believe. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. So Paul makes it very clear, it's by grace, it's not by your works, but right after that, verse 10, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. It's not by your good works that you are saved, but if you are truly saved, God saved you to be the person who will do good works. This was predetermined even before the creation of this universe. Another principle that you must understand is Matthew chapter 7, verse 17 through 20. So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. So it's not about your effort. If you're a bad tree, I don't care how much effort you put in, you're just going to produce bad fruits. So you need to understand, and you need to ask your question, am I good tree? Otherwise, then all your efforts are useless. Romans chapter 7, verse 4, therefore, My brethren, you also were made to die to the law through the body of Christ, so that you might be joined to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. So why did Jesus die for us and save us? According to this verse, in order that we might bear fruit for God. Titus chapter 2, verse 14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. So first thing you need to understand and believe is that God saved you to do good works. Now, Bible clearly teaches us that we were not and we could not, before our salvation, bear good fruits. Colossians 1:21, and although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds. Colossians 3:6-7, for it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience, and in them you once also walked when you were living in them. And what are these things? Verse 5b, immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. The Old Testament tells us through the history of Israel that the sinner will not and cannot bear good fruits on their own. And this is how you understand Old Testament. Old Testament shows you what will happen without Christ. That's the story of Old Testament. He used Israel as an example. And when you look at Israelites, you will see what will happen to sinners without Jesus Christ. You will be destroyed. Psalm 80 verse 8 says, you removed a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. So he compares Israelites as a vine. So he, God, removed that vine and planted in a new land. And he was expecting that vine to produce good fruits. But what happened to that vine? Isaiah 5, verse 1 through 5. Let me sing now for my well-beloved, a song of my beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on fertile hill. He dug it all around, removed his stones, and planted it with the choicest vine. And he built a tower in the middle of it and also hewed out a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it produced only worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for my vineyard that I have not done it yet? Why then I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I will remove its hedges and it will be consumed. I will break down its wall and it will be trampled ground. There's a whole Israel's history. Like Psalm says, God brought good vine and he planted it. And he did everything that he could so that that vine will produce good fruits. But they only produce worthless ones. So what God did is to destroy it. Wouldn't you? You spent so much money and you bought a vineyard and you worked so hard so that you will get some good grapes, but it only produces the worthless ones. What would you do? You will destroy it. And you will plant something else. And that's exactly what happened to Israel. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 21, "Yet I planted you a choice vine, a completely faithful seed. How then have you turned yourself before me into a degenerate shoots of a foreign vine?" What happened? Well, they sinned. They would not obey God. And God shows through history of Israel what would happen to the sinners without Christ. That's our picture without Christ. Are you able to produce good fruits? No. Only in Jesus Christ. Because bad tree cannot bear good fruits. This is why it is so important to understand John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 1, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Now you gotta understand this. The vine, his people, only produce worthless grapes. But here's Jesus Christ comes and he says, "I am the true vine." Contrasted with the Old Testament vine Israel, or anybody who is sinner without Christ, Jesus Christ is the true vine. He is the true good tree. And now only in him we are able to produce good fruits. We have to be united to Jesus Christ. That is the only way to produce good fruits that God could enjoy. Only in Jesus Christ. This is what the Bible is saying. He's not saying, okay, you sinners on your own, do your best to produce good fruits. That's useless. Because you will not. You cannot. But see, Jesus is the true vine. And you are the branches, he says. So as a branch, all you have to do is be united to the true vine and you will bear good fruits. Understand this. This is the gospel. So your focus is not bearing good fruits, but your focus is to be united to Christ. Because if you just focus on bearing good fruits, you will never bear good fruits. Because you just can't. But if you are united to Christ, you will bear good fruits. This is the content of the gospel. If God says to bear good fruit, if he says that to you right now, then just go out and just live whatever you want to do, sin, whatever, because there's no, it's no use, because we're all going to go to hell without Christ. See, this is what is wrong with this world, sinful world. They don't get it. They don't understand how just utterly not possible for them to do anything to please God. But they think they're good. And they will tell you you're a pessimist because you think all of us are bad. That's our starting point. And they will complain about you because you're so negative. But listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 15, verse 4-8, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up. And they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. Understand? Your focus is you being united to Christ. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, only then you are able to bear good fruit. Luke chapter 8, verse 15, but the seed in the good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word in an honest and good heart, and hold it fast and bear fruit with perseverance. The good heart must be given to us first. Mark chapter 4, verse 20, and those are the ones on whom seed was thrown on the good soil, and they hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Matthew 13, 23, and the one on whom seed was sown in the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60 and some 30. And you know the story. Jesus plants a seed. And there were four different soils, and only one soil is a good kind. The other three, not so good. But the seed, four different soils, but seed is the same. Understand? It's all about what kind of soil you are. Because everybody hears the word. See, these all four different soils, even these bad soils, it says they heard it. They heard the word of God. But they didn't produce good fruits. Meaning that all those four different people, they all come to church. They hear the word. But only one is a good soil. And how do you become good soil? Well, that you are in Christ. That you believe in Christ and you trust in Christ. Even at church, so many people, they think that when they hear this kind of sermon, and all of a sudden, first thing they think about themselves, okay, I'll do my best. I'll try. Okay, go ahead. See what happens. You know, if you get to my age, man, you realize, oh, I cannot do this. Because I tried it so many times. And I failed miserably every single time. But that's not what the Bible is saying. Bible is telling us about Jesus Christ. He's everything. And if he is taken away, then only thing left is hell for everyone. Good heart that hears God's word and accepts it and understands it and believes. People with this new heart given by God will live by faith. And by faith, and only by faith, produce the good fruit. We must be united to Christ. Otherwise, there's no hope. It really doesn't matter how many times I tell you to go out and do your best to bear good fruits. You cannot do that. But if you are united to Christ, you will. But see, first thing is this. You must believe what it says, what the Bible says. Bible says that we are saved to do good works. And that once you are saved, that you will do good works. But the thing is, when you look at your life, it's very clear you do not bear good fruits. But see, believe that you have become a person who do bear good fruits. And by that faith, from that faith flows out anything that you do. And it's never perfect. And maybe other people will not even acknowledge it as a good fruit, but you do it by faith. God will accept it as a good fruit. Because it's by faith. Don't ever think that you need to do perfectly in order for God to accept that fruit. If that is true, then your works will never be accepted by God. But God accepts in Christ. Brothers and sisters, this is so important. See, all the other religion is focused on your good works. And that good works, you have to produce it. Which just flat out rejects what the Bible teaches. That sinners cannot produce, bad tree cannot produce good fruits. That's every other religion in the world, except true Christianity. True Christianity says, no, you need to be united to Christ. Because He is the true vine. He is the good tree. And if we are united to Him, we will bear good fruits. Because you will do things by faith. Think about it. God accepts His righteousness, perfect obedience of Christ, as your own righteousness. So if you do by faith, your mediocre works will be accepted by God as the perfect work of Jesus Christ. That's how the fruit you bear is a good fruit that God enjoys. Because your faith in Christ. That He did whatever that you're doing, He did that perfectly in your place. So you do as much as possible, but you understand, you believe that He did it for you perfectly, and when you do it with that faith, God accepts as a perfect fruit. That's the only way that any of your works will be accepted by God. Otherwise, He just cannot accept it because it's never perfect. It's a worthless grapes. It is amazing why, you know, Christians don't get this. Because even today, you talk to Christians, they're going to talk about focus on works rather than faith. Because if you are judged by your own works, you're damned forever. And thinking that your own good works is good enough for God to accept, then you are the arrogant one. You are truly arrogant. That your life without Christ is acceptable by God. There are people who are like that. They think that they did so many good things that God just has to bless them. like Pharisees in the Bible. There are many people in church. You know, when church wants to build a building for worship, one person gives like $1 million. And he thinks that, whoa, you know, God must be blessed. I mean, God must be impressed. He must be happy. No, he's not happy. But do you really believe that God needs that $1 million? Don't you think he has the power to produce that $1 million like that? That without him giving that $1 million, God just could not do what he intended to do? It's not happening because it wasn't his plan from the beginning. Not because whatever person did not give money. You gotta trust God and his power. He does everything that he wants to do. And no one is able to thwart his plan. Oh, there are people who think that, oh, you know, people with $1 million are going, oh, if I don't give, then, oh, church cannot do this. Meaning God cannot do this. Really? Is that the kind of God that we trust and we serve? That he just cannot do even though he wants to? Oh, yeah, yeah. Some people are so arrogant. And I don't know how they think that they're truly Christian. Because their understanding of God is just non-biblical. It's just wrong. Well, I have Matthew 21. This is kind of long. You understand? We looked at this. There's a owner of vineyard who hired many people, and he went away, and he sent his servants to get some fruits because it's his vineyard. So he says, like, oh, give me some fruits, and then they beat him, they like kill him. So at the end, the owner sends his own son. Surely that will give some fruit to my own son. But these people, they kill their own son. What do you think that God will do to these people? Well, brought judgment upon them. And that's exactly what happened to Old Testament Israel. We see it. Even in the book of Luke, we see what that's exactly what is happening. But that is the, you know, micro picture of what would happen to the whole world. Only hope that we have is being united to Jesus Christ. Because he is the true vine. Without him, there's no way we could bear good fruits. But look at what Paul does. Read about his prayer for his people, God's people. He prays that all of us who are in Christ will bear good fruits. That's what he prays. That's what Jesus prays for you. Meaning that it has already accomplished spiritually. That's why we are able to have fellowship with God. If we're not perfect, if we're not producing the perfect fruit, God cannot enjoy us. But the fact that the Bible tells us there's a perfect relationship between God and us, it shows that we are producing the truly good fruits. Otherwise, there is no relationship. Believe. This is how most of churchgoers think. Say, okay, we need to produce good fruits. I know. And I know that I'm not producing good fruits. But I'm going to try harder. I'm going to really try hard. But you know that that's not going to happen. And maybe you do try hard, but it's still not good fruits. But here, true Christian, you understand you cannot produce good fruits, and even if you try so hard, you just cannot. And you do try hard because you love God, but you don't. So you repent, but you believe that Jesus Christ, you are united to Him, and He already produced good fruits for God to enjoy. And all I have to do is just trust Him and believe in Him and be united to Christ. And through His work, we will produce good fruits. And when you don't, you repent. This is how we live. But knowing that whatever you did, it's not in vain because you did that by faith in Christ. What Christ has praised for us in our eternal heavenly reality that is already accomplished by Him. It is already accomplished. It is being accomplished, and one day it will be visibly consummated. We have become the branches that are attached to the true vine, bearing good fruit in every good work. Of course, we sin still, but when we do sin, Holy Spirit who lives in us convicts us of our sin, then we repent, and repentance by faith is also good fruit. So even if you think that you did not produce any good fruit, but truly repent by faith that Jesus Christ has died for your sins, and that when you truly repent by faith, that is good fruit. At least that's good fruit. Understand? And God enjoys it. But if you do every other thing by faith, those are also good fruit. Even though it's not, in your eyes, it's never good. Of course, until you die, you will not be perfect. But you do all those things by faith in Jesus Christ. So go home and read John chapter 15, because that is a very important chapter. He says, I am the true vine and you are the branches. And if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will bear good fruits. That's how you do it. That's how you understand that this prayer is already accomplished. Oh, I am producing good fruits because I am in Jesus Christ. You start from there. You have to believe. And I think I'm going to say this until I die. Our problem is always not believing. And somehow it's so, people just don't believe what the Bible is saying. You are so already predetermined, you do not produce good fruits. Period. That's your faith, actually. I don't produce good fruit. That's the fact. That's how you begin. And that's how you end. And that's never Christian. You have to begin. I do produce good fruits in Christ. That's where you begin. Because if you're truly Christian, it is the fact. It is actually true of you. God enjoys you in Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9 through 11. And this I pray, he's praying again, that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent in order to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruits of righteousness which comes through faith, comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. That's the fact. I love reading these prayers because As I read, I realize, oh, that's my present reality. That's what is true of me. Everything that he says, I pray, I say, whoa, that's me. I already become like this. I am like this. And I begin with that faith. Because God's salvation is effective. Colossians 1 verse 29, for this purpose also I labor, striving according to his power which mightily works within me. Yes, I labor, but what? Understanding that there's another power, more powerful than anything that I could come up with, is working in me. And that's my present reality. And according to that power, I work. And of course, it will come true. Whatever that you're doing to please God, it will happen. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed. Do you believe it? Of course, when you look at your life, I said before, you know it is fact that you don't do good works. But that's without Christ. Yes, that's true. But without Christ. But it says that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good works. Believe. Please believe the word of God. Abundance. Sufficiency in everything. To do good works, I already have it. Believe. Because all you need is faith in Christ. Amazing grace. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 10. Likewise, I want women to adorn themselves with proper clothing, modestly and discreetly, not with braided hair or gold or pearl or costly garment, but rather by means of good works, as is proper for a woman making a claim to godliness. What makes woman beautiful? When she obeys God. That's the jewel that she could put on. It makes her really beautiful. And of course, it goes the same for men, of course. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, and those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. I'm preparing myself because I'm going to read a verse from Song of Solomon. And it is my desire, great desire actually, that before I die, that I will be able to preach to you on the Songs of Solomon. Song of Solomon. It shows the love that we have with Christ, and it is expressed in terms of love between man and woman. And I really believe that if I preach on that book, Song of Solomon, I'm going to cry every single time I preach. And even during Korean worship, I said the same thing. And I read one verse from Song of Solomon, I had to cry. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture of love between the church and Jesus Christ. Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Awake, O north wind, and come, wind of the south, come. Make my garden breathe out fragrance. Let its spices be wafted abroad. Wafted abroad. May my beloved come into his garden and eat its choice fruits." You know, I don't have a farm. I go to a supermarket, and all my life I didn't go to a supermarket, but nowadays I follow my wife. And it's not that bad, young guys, going to supermarket. I don't know, somehow I was never into that. But now, you know, I go and I go to a fruit section. And sometimes, like a plum, when it's really white, ripe, it smells so good. And here's a vineyard, and this person is saying to the north wind, "Come blow, south wind, come blow," so that this fragrance of the fruit, his beloved will smell, and he will come to the fruit garden, and he will enjoy those fruits. See, this is our reality. I could say to God, to our Lord Jesus Christ, "See, you are the garden, fruit garden. And you're bearing all these good fruits because of Jesus Christ. And I say to the north wind, come and blow. South wind, come and blow. So that Jesus can smell that fragrance. And he's so happy to come to you and enjoy you." This is our reality. Even though all we do is sin every single day, because of Jesus Christ, he could come to you and enjoy the fruit that you produce. Do you understand your heavenly reality? The fruits that you produce smell so good to God. Not because you actually produce good fruits, but because of Christ. But nevertheless, it is your present reality that God enjoys you, enjoys your fruits. And you might ask yourself, how could he? Look at how I live. How could he? Well, the answer is Jesus Christ. Do you understand the gospel? Of course, without Christ, only thing God could do to us is destroy us forever. Look at the difference that Jesus makes in your life. Look at the difference. Let me end. Hebrews 13, 20 and 21. Now the God of peace who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of an eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing to His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, rejoice. God loves you, and He enjoys you and your fruit, all because of Jesus Christ and what He has done. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Be happy. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You. You are so good to us. And Father, it is so amazing that You are able to enjoy us and enjoy our fruits that we produce, all because of Jesus Christ, all because of what He has done and what He has accomplished for us. Oh, Father, we give You all the glory, honor, and power and thanksgiving. We're just so happy. We love You. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.